Right. So let's take a look on Daf Yud. And we're up to Daf Yud on the days. And we'll try to review a little bit of what we did so that we know where we want to start with today. And we're trying to understand the Shita of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds that Chatzer Mishum Shlichus is Rabbi. And since a Ketana doesn't have a Shliach, therefore she cannot have a Chatzer. So if you put a get into the Chatzer of an Isha, and she's a Ketana, then Eina Megureshes. And the reason for that is because she doesn't have a Shliach, and therefore she cannot have a Chatzer. Because Chatzer is Mishum Shlichus. That's what we discussed yesterday. Now, I have a note here that Gedola, if she were past the age of 12, then Miskareshes Eidei Chatzera. And the Gemara derives that later on in our Sugya from a Pasuk V'Kasav La Sefer Krisus V'Nasan B'Yada. And the Gemara's Medayik, it doesn't say biyada yitnena. In other words, it says minasan biyada. It should have said biyada yitnena, then it would have been only in Hayad. But since it says minasan biyada, lo rak b'nesina liyada miskaresh, so l'gam b'nesina so lichatzera. Now, a gdola can also have a get through Dalet Amos. Right, because we said that if Chatzer is Kone, and by Gdola for sure Chatzer is Kone, therefore Dal Ramas is Kone Slo, correct? And that's a Sugin Gittin on Daf Ayin Ches. Now Rav, there in Gittin, on that Mishnah, says that Im Zorak La Get Bi Arba Moseha HaRezu Megureshes. So that's good. Our sugya here would seem to reflect the opinion of Rav in Gittin that a woman who's a Gdola can receive her get within Dalet Amos. However, Rabbi Yochanan, there in Gittin, has a different interpretation of the Mishnah, and he says that get is different. And it has nothing to do with Dalet Amos. It has to do with Karov Law. So if it's closer to her than it is to the Baal, and that's called Hiyachala L'shomra V'hu Eina Yachal. So if she would run to grab the get, she would get there first. Then she's Megureshes under the law of an Asan B'yada. And that's the subject of the Mishnah there. So it has nothing to do with Dalet Amos per se. So she can be Kona HaGet even if it is outside of Dalet Amos, if she could be Shomer the Get and he cannot. Now what would be in Dalet Amos? Does Dalet Amos have any significance according to Rabbi Yochanan? When Rabbi Yochanan says it's all a question of Karov Lo versus Karov Lo, Setosis indicates that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is a special status to Arba Amos. And what is that? B'toch Dalet Amos Amoseha Kona Bahenes Gita Filu Im Gama Baal Yochel Lashom. So whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah itself is talking about who could be Shomer the Get, because the Get fell outside of her Dalet Amos. So therefore, if it's outside of a Dalet Amos, everything depends upon who Yachal L'Shomra or he Yachal L'Shomra, but within her Dalet Amos, irrelevant to the fact that who Yachal L'Shomra, she's Megureshes. And the reason for that is because Dalet Amos sets up a Chatzer. So that if a Baal puts a get into his wife's Chatzer, the fact that he could grab it out of the Chatzer is irrelevant. The very moment that he puts it into a Chatzer, she's Megureshes. So he says here, "B'tam adover shel Rav Yochanan nesinas get moila af biyoser mi'arvoseha." If we want to understand why
according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if the get was outside of the parameters of Hadas, she's still Megureshes. So the Ramban says, Sheshas Hashmad Hois. No, just one second. Is this the Ramban? I just want to read the Ramban. So the Ramban wants to say that this was a separate takana of Heim Amru, of what's called Kol de Mekadesh Adayt Rabbanan Mekadesh and Afkina Rabbanan Lekidushim Yinei. And the reason for that had to do with Shas Hashmad. So the Chacham were metaken this takana that even outside of Dalet Amos she could be Kona. But Rashi says that she's Kona the Ghetto Raisa, has nothing to do with Afkina Rabbanan. And now the condition is that it's Mishtameres, that since she can grab onto the get and she can hold on to the get, that's enough for Venasan Biyoda. Now Lefiani is Daiti. I'm just as a tag on to what we discussed the other day, we had a machlokas between the Ktsos and Reb Chaim. Whereas the Ktsos understood that all you need is Venasan Biyoda. And he proved this from the case of Get Al Isuri Anoa and Al Shel Zayis. Reb Chaim was of the opinion, no, that she needs to be Kona Get. So that if we understand according to Rashi, that there's Halacha according to the Sugin Gittin in Rabbi Yochanan, that if it's Yechol Lishmar's Gita, even outside of Arba Moseh, she's Megureshes, and that's a Doraisa Halacha, then it means like Reb Chaim, like the Ktsos would say, that it's just a Nesina. In other words, in Hilchas Kinyonim, we never found a Kinyon called Yechola Lishmar. So for example, if I want to be Makna you this orange, right, and I throw it in such a way that it's outside your Dalet Amos, but you could be Shomer, you could get access to it before I do, you would not be Kona the orange. There's no such thing as a Kenyan outside of Dalet Amos. But in Get, there's Halacha V'Nosan. And once the Get goes from his Rishus into our Rishus, and who ain't a Yechol Shomer, but she's Yechol Shomer, that constitutes V'Nosan. So that's how we could justify a Kenyan Doraisa in Get. But again, according to Reb Chaim, you're going to have to add another piece to the puzzle, that the Torah says V'nosan V'yod, and it's Mechadish, a new kind of a Kenyan, that through the Nesina, she's Kona the Get in Hilchas Gerushin, as a special halacha in Hilchas Gerushin. Now, in the Masifti, he has a note here from the Tosus Rid. The Tosus Rid says that with regard to Get, Kabbalah Hoya Biyodah Misinai, it was a special Halach Lamosh Misinai, Sha'arba Amos Konos. Because again, we don't have in Hilchas Kinyonim on a Doraisa level a Kinyon called Arba Amos. Either you own the Chatz or you don't own the Chatz. So the Rabbanan were established Dalet Amos as a Bimkom Kinyon Chatz because the Lo'osil in Suye. And yet, in Get, says the Tosus Rid, she's Megureshes Midoraisa, even if she has a Dalet Amos Kinyan. So the Tosus Rid has no choice but to introduce here Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Now when Rabbi Yochanan goes a step further and he says even outside of her Dalet Amos she could be Kona the Get. So that again has to do with this Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, but it should not be extended or applied elsewhere. Now let's get back to our sugya for just one moment. According to Rabbi Yochanan, against Reish Lakish, Ktana Yesh Lachotzer V'Yesh La'arba Amos. Now we could explain Rabbi Yochanan in the following way, that since the Torah says that there's such an entity called a Chotzer, and even a Ktana is Mugureshes through a Chotzer, nobody disagrees with that, then Mimela now, she can have Arba Amos. When I say no one disagrees, I mean to say within the framework of Rabbi Yochanan. I shouldn't say, when I say no one disagrees, I don't mean to lafuke Reish Lakish. But I mean to say everybody agrees according to Rabbi Yochanan that she's megureshes midoraisa with her chotzer, and you don't have to introduce some sort of halacha shas hashmad or some sort of halacha of afkinu rabbanu lekidusha minei, and she has a chotzer. And now we're going to extend that chotzer one step further to include Dalet Amos. Now again, if you go with the Ramban's opinion is that since Dalet Amos in Kol HaTorah Kula and Kinyonim is only the Rabbanon, it's a Takonas Chachamim, so Ramban says, how could she be Mureshes Midoraisa within Dalet Amos when it's only a Takonas Chachamim? Meaning midoraisa, she's an Eishes Ish Gmura. So we're going to have to flex the muscle of called the Makadish Adaita Rabbanah Makadish Vafkina Rabbanah Likidusha Minet. So Rabbanah Mafkia Likidusha. The other option is to say that we don't have to introduce called the Makadish Adaita Rabbanah Makadish, but rather we could say that once the Chachamim set it up that this is HaChatzer, then now it takes on all the dinim of a Chatzer. And she could therefore be Megureshes Midoraisa. And this is kind of reminiscent of the principle called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And Hefker Bezdin Hefker could work even for a Doraisa. So let's say, for example, a man would be Makadish and Isha in such a way that the Chachamim would object to the Kedusha. They could apply the principle of Hefker Bez and Hefker, and therefore they can be Mafkia her ownership over the object, or rather his ownership over the object, and therefore the Kedusha is not Doraisa. So if we talk about Dalet Amos and why she's Megureshes, we could apply the principle of Hefker Bez and Hefker, even though Dalet Amos in general is only Takonas Chachom, how can it work to be Mafkia Ishus Doraisa if she's an Ishus Ish? And the answer might be Hefker Bez and Hefker. Okay, let's go back now, having touched on some of the points that we made yesterday, let's go back to the Sugya of Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, a Ktana does not have a Chatzer, and she cannot be Kone Dalet Amos and Eina Megureshes. So the Gemara explains Reish Lakish that Chatzer, according to Reish Lakish, Mishum Shlichus is Rabbi. And we're going to apply the principle here that since she's a Ketana, she doesn't appoint a Shliach, she cannot have a Shliach, so too she cannot have a Chatzer, because Chatzer is Mishum Shlichus. So the Gemara asks the following question: if Chatzer is Mishum Shlichus, how could Chatzer work by Gneva? And in fact, one of the main sources, if not the main source for Kinyan Chatzer, is the case of Gneva, because the Torah says, "He Motzei Timotzei Biyado," and that extra ribuy is coming to teach me Chatzer. Now, if you're going to tell me Chatzer Mishum Shlichus, we have a problem of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So the Gemara suggests two answers: one in the name of Ravina, and the other in the name of Rav Sama. So let's take a look at the Gemara inside. So we're on now Daf Yud Amud Beis, and we're up to Amar Avina. If you see Tosis, Dibra Maskel Iboy Lo Ovid, and you rise, you go up above that about two or three lines, and the Gemara says, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera, so we have the answer of Ravina. Yeah? Everybody have the place?
Yeah.
You see Tosis Iboy Lo Ovid, and then you go up a little bit higher on the page.
Yeah,
Amar Avina. Oh, excellent. Amar Avina. Heicham Rinon, when do we say in Shliach Dvar Avera that's Heicha de Shliach Bar Chiyuvahu? So Ein Shliach Dvar Avera, as we emphasized yesterday, doesn't mean that there's no Shlichus for a Dvar Avera. Like, for example, there's no Shlichus in Mitzvahs. You might ask me, in Chanukah we have Shlichus, I can appoint you a Shliach. The answer is that Chanukah is different, because there I need to have my window, my door, my house equipped with an Ner Chanukah. Or for example, maybe there might be Shlichus in Mila. My obligation as a father is to see to it that my son is Nimol. In that context, where the purpose of the Shlichus is to set up some sort of a Totsa'ah, goal, then there is shlichus in mitzvahs. But in general, for example, in a mitzvah where the maisa is the maisa mitzvah, like lulav, there is no such thing as shlichus. Again, mezuzah might have shlichus because the totsa'ah, meaning that I have to set up my door as having a mezuzah, maybe there I can have a shliach. But when the mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah, then I cannot send a shliach. So in that case, I would say that shlichus is, that mitzvah is mufka from shlichus. In other words, if you're talking about the parameters of shlichus, then the mitzvah is outside the parameters of shlichus. Again, in a case where the totza'ah is the mitzvah, that's something different, because there I can use an agent to set up that totza'ah. But as far as mitzvahs per se, there is no such thing as shlichus. If I apply that on the flip side to averos, I might have said that there's no shlichus in averos. Hence, in the case of gneva, you can't call him a ganav if his chatzer mishum shlichus was the agent that completed his gneva for him. So comes along Ravini, says you're making a mistake. You can send a shliach for an avera. An avera is not like a mitzvah. And there is shlichus for an avera. The halacha of ein shlichus for avera is halacha of what he calls shliach bar chiyuvahu, which means that the Torah says that if a person does an avera and he's a bar chiyuva vis-a-vis that avera, then it becomes his avera. So it's again, it's not afkav shlichus. It's a question of to whom does this action relate. In Hebrew, we would say, "Ha'ima pula mityacheset le'alif o lebet, leruven o leshimon." Right? That's a question of how you relate the pula to someone. The chiddush of shlichus is that the yachas is between the pula and the mashaleach. That's the chiddush of shlichus. That even though the shlich does the physical act, but al pi alocha, the act is considered ol al shema mashaleach. However, there's certain cases where the Torah says that the pu'ula is nikra'is or miyucheses le shliach, and not to the mishalech. In other words, where the person who's involved in the actual physical maisa, he's doing the action, and that's going to be mafkia shlichus. Are you with me? Now, in normal cases, I have the right to say that this shlichus, because I could say that the pu'ula, the action of the shliach, relates back to the mishalech. But there are rare cases where the Torah says that this action relates to the shliach himself. I mean, l'mad davar dom, don't compare, I'm just giving you a mashal. I send someone to be mekadesh et isha for me. I say, go give kedusha to Leah. And the shliach comes along, he says, hey, you know, Leah's not a bad looking girl. I think I'm going to be mekadesh for myself. So that's going to be a hafkah of shlichus. Why? Because now the maisa kedusha is the shliach's maisa kedusha. But again, that's obvious, that doesn't need an explanation, because there he had kavana to do the maisa for himself. In a case of a shliach l'dvar avera, it's irrelevant. I don't care what his kavana was. He can yell from now till doomsday that my interest is doing it as a shliach, and I'm not doing this avera on my behalf, I'm doing it on behalf of the mishaleach. That's irrelevant. Why? Because he's a bar chiyuva. Once he's a bar chiyuva, then the Torah says to him, don't get involved in this avera. And when you get involved in this avera, you're the Bala Maisa. If you're the Bala Maisa, then the middle is no shlichus. So again, the chiddush of shlichus, just to summarize, is that the mshalach becomes the Bala Maisa, and shlucho shel adam kimoso. But in situations where the Torah determines that the osa ha-pa'ula, meaning the shliach himself, is the Bala Maisa, then the middle is no shlichus. Now, you could always ask me the following question: why can't the pu'ula relate to both people? And then you get into issues about whether an avera could be related to two people. Says Ravina, in the case of chatzer, we don't apply the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera, because the chatzer is not a bar chiyuva. And if the chatzer is not a bar chiyuva, we have every right to say that the mice of the chatzer in grabbing onto this stolen object relates back to the gazlan, to the mishaleach. So the Gemara went very far now, and this was the havamina that I'm racking my brains on to try to figure out. The Gemara thinks that if a husband sends his wife to steal something, or if he sends his eved to steal something, then in such a case we would apply the principle of yesh liach l'dvar avera, which means that the husband, the mishaleach, would be chayav for this geneva. Why? Because she or the Eved in this case are not considered a bar chiyuva.
Of what?
Of Gneva. So again, what's the Havavina that a married woman is not considered a bar chiyuva of Gneva? We've been interpreting it in terms of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, which means that if you're liable because you did the Avera, then don't tell me you did it on behalf of the Mishalech. The Torah doesn't recognize that. The Torah says that you're the Baal Avera. And hence there's no Shlichus. So why is an Isha not considered a bar Avera? Now it's true that you cannot collect from the Isha, so that the Nigzal has no recourse to get compensation from the Isha, in the case of the Eved. But that's only Halacha in Hilchas Gvir. Do you follow what I mean? I can't be Gover, I can't force you to pay me for that Gzeila. But what does that have to do with the Aver per se? We're saying that the Aver relates to the Shaliach, and it doesn't relate back to the Shaliach, because the Aver is considered al shem ashliach, because the Torah says to the shliach, you're not allowed to do this aver. So we're going to tell an isha that when she's married and now she can steal, that would be great. Could you imagine? That would be, again, I can't send my wife as a shliach because then I'm going to be chayav, right? Because we're holding now that yesh shliach l'dvar avera according to Ravina, if she's not a bar chiyuva. But let's say if she takes the initiative on her own, she can steal the Mona Lisa. You can steal anything on the face of the earth. Why? Because she's not a bar chiyuva. What do you mean she's not a bar chiyuva? The Torah didn't address a woman and say to her, lo tigzol, lo tigno. So again, I could read to you the shlug up of the Gemara. I can't get the Havamina, the words of the Havamina out of my mouth. The Gemara says, Elameato, according to you, Ravina, Ha'omer le'isha v'yevit, se'u v'ginvuli, de'la b'nei chiyuvaninu. No, they're not considered liable for the Avera, and therefore I can apply the principle of Shlichus, because again, Ravina holds yesh Shlich l'dvar Avera. So if I send you as my Shlich to do the Avera, I'm Chayav as the Mashalev, because Shlucho Shalom Kamoso, even in a Mais Avera. The only problem is that we have a technical issue. Why is it Ein Shlich l'dvar Avera? Because this Mais Avera relates to whom? To the Shliach, no less than to the Mashalev. So therefore the Shliach cannot wipe his hands and say, well, I'm innocent, and therefore the pa'ula should go back to the mshalach. No, it's the buck stops here with the shliach, because he's obligated to saver. But an isha and an eved with regard to gneva, they're not considered liable for violating the saver. It's not an avera for them. So the Gemara answers, that's not true. What do you mean? What are you telling me? That an isha and the eved are not liable for a mais avera? Amrit. Isha and the eved b'nei chiyuva ninu. They are culpable, liable for the Maisa Vera. It is their Maisa Vera. Norvas, as far as Tashlumen is concerned, for payment purposes, Hashto Mio Les Lehu Lishlume. There's no way that you can collect from that. They don't have a Yad for payment. This Nan, we have a Mishnah in Mesechta Bava Kama, Niskar Shoha Isha, Vinishtachra Evid Chayovim Lishalem. So imagine, the woman stole something, or she destroyed something while she was a married woman. Now she's divorced. And now we can force her to pay up for that gneva that she was guilty for before she was married. That proves, no doubt, that she's a bar chiyuva. In other words, she's included in this avera. You want to ask me a question about, for example, bal takif, which the Torah says that you're not allowed to cut your beard, right? So toar al roso. An isha is not included in the iser of hakofas ha-peah.
Yeah.
That would be an excellent example. You know, if I send an Isha to do Hakofas Peah, Pa'asa Rosh, and she's excluded from that Avera, so then you could say, Yesh Liach L'dvar Avera coin to Ravina. But don't give me a case of Gneva. You know, no one in their right minds would ever say that you know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, well, my wife could steal anything from the anywhere in the face of the earth. I just want to take one last attempt. You know, again, as I told you, I was trained in my upbringing that you have to understand the Havamina. You know, Havamina is no less chashuv than a maskana. What could possibly be the Gemara's way of thinking here? Did the Gemara make some sort of major blunder, major error here in thinking that a woman is a la bas chiyuva, a la bar chiyuva in the case of gneva? So let me throw out one idea. There's a tremendous machlokas rishonim in the laws of Nezikin, in a case of a katan amazik, obviously, as long as the katan is a katan, you cannot sue him for damages. You can't take him into a bezdin. But can I sue the katan for damages after he becomes a gadol? So what would be your knee-jerk response? You would say no. So I have news for you. That there's a Hagosa Shri, very famous, in Perek HaChovel, if I'm not mistaken, who says, now let's see where he's coming from. The Gemara says about Rav Ashi that when he was a katan, he burnt someone's shtar. So a malva had a shtar, which allows him to collect 1,000. And this little pishing, pardon the expression, named Rav Ashi, again, he wasn't Rav Ashi, then maybe he was Ashi, you know what I'm saying? He burnt the shtar. So the Gemara says that he has to pay when he becomes a gadol, so that the Baal Ashtar, the Malva, cannot collect from Rav Ashi as long as he's little Ashi, but when he becomes a bar mitzvah, he can force him to pay. That's what it seems to. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth because Groman is Zikin Potus, how can you force him to pay? And this is only Groman because he was going that the Malva can't collect the Shtar, and the Gemara answers, this is Garmi. Why is it Garmi? Because the Shtar itself is almost like money in the pocket. So it's not just that he indirectly caused him to lose the money in the loan, but he actually destroyed the shtar, and that's called a mazik yashir, you know, it's a direct mazik, it's not called grama. So it says that Agos HaShri, and all the Rishonim disagree, they all say that Rav Ashi paid up when he was a gadol only be hit not vut, you know, there was in a divus libo, you know, he was a chassid, so he didn't want to go to the next world and think, well, when he was a katan, and he was a pretty bright guy when he was a katan, that he caused someone damage, and then he was chai midini to garmi, but he's not paying. So he paid on his own initiative. But the Agos HaShri said, no. He's got to pay when he's a gadol, and he would be liable in a court, and Bezdin could force him to pay, if only he was a mazik, if it's karmi. So l'chora, I understood. Tell me if you agree with this. That according to the Agos HaShri, the mice of a katan is a mice of mazik. Yesh lachar, what's the status of a katan shehizik? Is it a maisa hezik or it's not even a maisa hezik? Is the Torah saying that we don't recognize halachically the action of a katan? Katan is not responsible for his actions. It's not an action. He's the la bardas. Or are we saying, no, the katan has a maisa, but we cannot collect from that maisa? So it's a din in gvir. It's a din in tashlumen. That we cannot be tovem to bezdin for tashlumen as long as he's a katan. And then afkamin is Agos HaShri. Agos HaShri apparently understood that what's the status of a katan vis-a-vis a maisa hezek? Yes, no, or maybe. I mean, anybody. It is a maisa hezek. Otherwise, the Agos HaShri makes no sense. How could you be mechayiv him who becomes a gadol if there was no maisa hezek? Oh, so now what comes out is the following: the other Rishonim said the following. In a case where we cannot be mechayiv you, let's say for example, a katan, even according to the Agos HaShri, we cannot be mechayiv him to pay. So how do I view that payment? So according to the other Rishonim, the fact that he is not culpable in a bezdin, in other words, there's nothing that we could do to force him to pay, therefore that means that his maisa is not a maisa hezek. Are you with me? In other words, the other Rishonim understood it's all a question of, you know, A and B, which causes what? Is A first and B is second, or is B first and A is second? In other words, the Agos HaShri understood that a katan has a maisa hezek. And therefore, the Agos Ashri concluded that as long as we remove the barrier, that we can't, you know, that as long as the katan, we can't, so then when he becomes a gadol, we can force him to pay. The other Rishonim understood that if we cannot force him to pay, then ipso facto, it means that his maisa is not a maisa hezek. Now, why would I say such a thing? Why would it even be olal daiti? A thought would cross my mind, and it's Rov Rishonim, that because we can't force him to pay, therefore it's not a maisa hezek. What led them to such a radical conclusion? The Malami doesn't justify the Nilmat, you know. It could be, as the Agos Ashri would say, we can't force him to pay, but that doesn't mean it's not a maisa hezek. So I think the answer is what we call onshim. What do I mean by onshim? Yesh lachkar. I want to ask you the following question. When I am tovea you for nezikin because you destroyed my property, is that obligation incumbent upon you to pay, is that just a compensation? It's like a lova has to pay back the malva because he received the money, or is it begetter onshim? So what would be your intuitive response?
It's a payback.
It's what you call in modern Hebrew tmuga. It's not an onesh. We're not beating you up for this. But yet, and this is the Pella Pili Ployim, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah in Bava Kama, Hamadlik es Gedisho shel Chavero b'Shabbos Potur, Shekein Mischai b'Nafsho. Which means that the Gemara is applying which principle to the case of the Zikin? Kim Leber de Rabbamine. That Bibalt, we give him a chiyuv, Misa, for violating the Shabbos, is therefore he's not chayef in Ezekiel. So the Meiri and the Chachmei Tzarfas, they all ask the following question. What do you mean? Let's say a person would violate the Shabbos when he borrowed money. You can say he doesn't have to return that money because he violated the Shabbos? Yes, the answer is that why doesn't he have to pay for Nezikin if he violated the Shabbos? It's not like case of Alva, because it's not a payback, as you say, it's not compensation, but rather it's onshin. I mean, this could explain, perhaps, the Shita of the Bali Atosis against the Ramban, that other Mu'ud Li'olam doesn't apply in a case of onus. Again, the Ramban says that other Mu'ud Li'olam, you know, Bein Er, Bein Yoshem, but blah, 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 is even in an onus situation. And the Bali Atosis says no. That if it's onus, again, it has to be onus, Ke'ein, Gnev, Gnev, whatever, all the details I'm not going into, but he's potter, even though he's an Adam Amazin. The answer is because Nezikin is begetter what? Is begetter onesh. If Nezikin is begetter onesh, then in the case of an onus, we have a principle called onus rachmana patre. So we're not going to be mechayev onshim, which in this case means payment, tashlumin Nezikin, for someone who's an onus. So getting back to the case of a katan, it could be, according to these Rishonim, the halacha that you cannot collect from a katan is not just a general halacha that a katan can't be brought into Beis Din. Let's say there are situations where we can circumvent Beis Din, right? You could do it outside of Beis Din. I would still say that the katan doesn't have to pay what? Doesn't have to pay for Nezikin. So the Rishonim say, why doesn't a katan have to pay for Nezikin? The answer is, because he doesn't have a Maisa Hezek. And the payment for Nezikin is an onesh for the Maisa Hezek. Our Gemara, again, it's just the Havam. You know, I'm trying to do the best to make sense out of this Havam. The Gemara thinks that if you can't collect from an Isha for Nezikin, that's because she doesn't deserve an onesh. It's not a technicality. Well, she's a married woman. Her husband is in charge of the finances. But rather, it's halach and hilchus onshin. That if Nezikin is an onesh, then she doesn't deserve that onesh. Again, on a mathematical level. Again, I'm not addressing your heart now. And emotionally, nothing that I said will appeal to you. But on an intellectual level, in terms of the way the halacha operates, The reason why in Ezekiel you don't pay is not some sort of barrier or technicality, but it's because there's no onish for something that doesn't have the status of a Maisa Avera. And the proof is from a katan, that the reason why a katan will not pay, and even if we circumvent the problem of Beis Din, for example, he's a gadol now, he will still not pay, is because Nezikin is onesh. And if Nezikin is an onesh, you're only chayv an onesh if you're a bar maisa. And the reason why a katan is not chayv an Nezikin is because he doesn't have a maisa. If we take that and apply to an isha, we say there's no tashlumin Nezikin in the case of an isha. Then if we assume tashlumin Nezikin is an onesh, then we could suggest that her maisa is not considered a maisa gzela. And if that be the case, yesh shliach l'dvar avera, according to Ravina. Why? Because Ravina holds that if the shliach is not liable for the maisa, then we do apply, right, because the only afka of shlichus is because we're going to relate this maisa to the shliach. Well, what happens if the shliach is not included in that maisa? Again, I don't mean the physical maisa. I'm talking about the maisa b'toras, Maisa Avera, right? Every Maisa could be inspected under two microscopes. You could look at it as a physical Maisa, and that would not be Mafkia Shlichus, because Yesh Shlichus Var Avera. And then you could look at the Maisa as an Avera. There's a Toras Avera to the Maisa, which means you're Chayef for doing the Maisa. And the Nafkemita is that in the case of an Avera, where you're chai for the Avera, then you are the Bala Maisa, and there's no Shlichus. But if we say that the payment for the Zikin would be impossible in the case of an Isha, and again, in the Havamina, the Gemara thinks that even after she receives a get, you could still not sue her in a court of law, which is parallel to the Rishonim against Agos Ashri, that even after the katan becomes a gadol, you can't sue him for the nezikin as a katan. It means because a katan is not a bar maisa. Applying that that structure, if you follow what I mean, that framework, to the case of a married woman, the reason why we can't collect it from her and compensate gneva or any kind of nezikin, and that would apply in the Gemara's Havamina, even in a case of what? Of a grusha. In other words, she did the act of Gneva when she was a married woman, and we cannot collect from her even after she gets her get from her husband. The reason for that is because she doesn't have she's not included in the responsibility and the liability of the Averas Gneva. So even though her Maisa was certainly a physical act of Gneva, but nevertheless, it doesn't have a Toras Avera to it, and therefore Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. That was the Havamina of the Gemara. Again, Rabosa, you know, you could walk out of here and just say, Berzon, you know, you're full of hot air, and, you know, I would not be insulted. I honestly would not be insulted. But when I learn a Gemara like this, I don't know, it just gnaws at me, you know, to say that Lo Sigzel doesn't address itself to a, you know, to a woman because she's married. I mean, I don't know how to deal with that. Like, I can't live with that. So I'm just suggesting, based on that model of katan, that maybe in the Zikin we have halacha that the reason why we don't collect from you is not because of some sort of technical barrier, but it's something much more fundamental. It's because the Zikin is an onesh, and your mice is not considered a mice amachayev onesh. Maybe again, if we had more, like if it was Reb Shimon Shkop, you know, if you know a little bit Reb Shimon, you know, he goes into the philosophical nuances. So maybe you could be machalik between hafkas maisa vera and hafkas onshim maisa vera. Meaning, maybe there are two levels over here. In the case of a cotton is completely mufka from the avera, according to all the Rishonim except for the Agos Ashri. In the case of an Isha, she's not completely mufka even in the Havamina, but there's one dimension of a Maisa Avera, which is an Avera HaMachayeves Onshim. So again, it might be considered a Maisa Avera, but the Gemara in the Havamina thought that not every Maisa Avera is a Maisa Avera in the full sense. You could have a Maisa Avera that reaches X amount, you know, it's 50%, it's 80%, but it's not 100%. And what's lacking in the Maisa Avera, that it's not an Avera HaMachayeves Onshin. So again, I'm not going to tell you that in the Havamina the Gemara thought that a married woman could go out and steal the Mona Lisa. You know, she has hefkeres and she can steal anything she wants, put up her hand into your pocket and steal your wallet. But the Gemara thought that she, in some level, her Maisa Avera doesn't reach the full level of a Maisa Avera. Why? Because it's not Avera lo mechayev his own shit.
Right, but why should that upset the halach of yeshlich
l'dvar avera? Now you're saying yeshlich l'dvar avera. Why? Because she has no monetary chiyuv. That just doesn't make any sense. Again, if you can explain it to me, I'll be very very happy. You know, I'll have to buy you a pizza or something. But I don't right now. You know, this, you know, Basheru Sham, I don't understand what monetary obligations have to do with Yeshlich Dvar Vera, Yeshlich Dvar Vera. If I understand Ravina correctly, Ravina is saying Yeshlich Dvar Vera, but it's got to be an Avera. And the Gemara goes as far as to say that an Isha doesn't have an Avera, so I don't know what to do with that, you know. Just because there are technicalities and reasons why you can't force her to pay, she doesn't have her own yad l'kinyonim, insofar as she's married, or the case of an eved who has an adon and kol mashikona eved kol adono. Therefore, we should change the law of yeshlich l'dvar avera. I don't understand the havam. You know. Anyway, let's go on to Rav Sama. So Rav Sama is going to offer another suggestion as to why chatzer operates in gneva, despite the fact that Reish Lakish holds that what. Chatzer mishtam shlichus is rabbi, and ain shlich l'dvar avera. And here I'm very comfortable with Rav Sama. Rav Sama says that ain shlich l'dvar avera means that the shliach is not operating on behalf of the mshalech in his own mind. You know, now we're entering into the, so to speak, the, I don't know if you ever heard this word, the phenomenology of a shliach. The phenomenology of a shliach is that he's operating on behalf of a mishalech. But at some point we say the shliach, hey buddy, you're not operating, don't pull the wool over my eyes on behalf of the mishalech. And that undermines the whole concept of shlichus. Because again, the shliach has to be completely, you know, butla daito eitzal mishalech. He doesn't see himself as anything but the agent working, operating on behalf of the mshalech. So Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera tells me that, listen buddy, the Torah says to you, don't get involved in this. This is an Avera. You're stealing something. Right? And therefore you have to make a decision. That decision is based on Bein Adam L'Makom, so to speak. You know, it's between you and the Almighty. You know, you can't tell me, well, I'm operating, I'm null and void because the Mishalech. You know, I could be Mavato my das to the Mishalech. That's true, but the Mishalech is not God himself. You know what I mean? So that's called in the Gemara's language what? Divrei Rava, Divrei Talmud. So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Sama, that can't apply in the case of a Chatzer. Hechi amrin an ein shliach l'dvar avera gai hecha di boy avid vi boy lo avid avol bechatzer de bal karcho is bechatzer de bal karcho. What does it say in the next line? I'm sorry, I got messed up here with my name. Is what? Is chayv mishalch. Okay. Now let me read to you, if I can, a piece of Torah here that he attributes this to Tosfos Chitzonios. Yechiel, you have this in your Masifta?
Yeah, what?
So it's number Yutes on our page.
Page we were just on. Yeah,
okay. On that, I mean to say on Yudamid Beis.
Yeah.
Yechiel has his way of doing it. There are things that Yechiel can do that you and I will never be able to do. But in any event, so listen carefully to this footnote number you test. I'll read it to you out loud. It's not a very long footnote. Sometimes the notes in the Sifta go on for pages, like in the sugya we're doing in Chulin today. He says the following.
The Torah says in the parsha of Gerushin, Vishilcha mi beiso. And the Gemara Kiddushin Mem Aleph derives from that that a ish osa shliach vishilcha. The Torah doesn't say vehotzia mi beiso, but vishilcha, operating deliberately with the language of shlichus, and therefore he can give the get over to a shliach, and the shliach will now deliver the get to the isha. The Gemara goes a step further and says, "Mikan sha isha osa shliach lekabalos." That just like he can send a shliach for nesina, then the other part of the pasuk is biyadah, that she can send a shliach to receive her get. Now, the Gemara assumes that if she can have a shliach, she can likewise have a chatzer. Why? Because according to Reish Lakish, chatzer is like a shliach. So the principle is that wherever shlichus operates, then chatzer operates. V'davar zeh shechatzera shal ha'isha zochala beget midin shlichus eino zakuk l'ribui min ha'kosuf. We don't need a pasuk to tell me that where shlichus operates, chatzer operates. According to this sheet in Rishonim, the concept of chatzer mishum shlichus rabbi is a svara bialma. And he says the following: the aflefi Rabbi Yochanan likewise will derive chatzer from a svara, although he doesn't accept the svara of Reish Lakish that wherever shlichus works, ipso facto chatzer works. But nevertheless, im haTorah lo haisa mechadesha shechatzer necheves kiyad, even though, again, the Gemara is going to derive chatzer mishum yad based on a yalfusa, even in the absence of this yalfusa, hayinu omrim al pisvara shechatzera zocha leisha midin shlichus. So what basically the Tosfos Chitzonios is doing is he's telling us that Rabbi Yochanan could accept the svara of Reish Lakish that if we didn't have a ribuy of yad for chatzer, we would derive chatzer from shlichus. Now this, I think, is antithetical to everything I told you in the name of Reb Chaim yesterday. Because Reb Chaim was of the opinion that even if I hold chatzer mishum shlichus as rabbi like Reish Lakish, it's not a svara. It's a din that the regulations that govern and limit shlichus will apply to chatzer as well. But chatzer, no doubt, is a yad. So I was thinking that maybe the machlokas here, I mean, again, I'm creating a machlokas that, you know, between, you know, 7 centuries ago or 9 centuries ago and last century, the machlokas revolves around the following issue. What is the Torah telling me and being mechayish to me in the parsha of shliach? One way is to say that shlichus operates midin chalos, and I'll explain what I mean. Chalos, I'll try to explain that. I don't mean a chal that you eat on Shabbos, but a chalos kinyan or a chalos gerishin. The other way is to say it, no, that the chiddush of the parasha of shlichus is in the maisa, not in the chalos. So I want to suggest the following: that chatzer is in the maisa, and shlichus we can clear back and forth. What do I mean? What did the Torah say in shliach? Is the shliach an extension of the yad of the mishaleach? Which means that the maisa shliach is vicariously the maisa of the mishaleach. Or are we saying something entirely different? That the shliach does the maisa, and it's not the maisa of the mishaleach, but it's halach in chalos. The Torah says we recognize that this chalos, as a result of shlichus, relates back to the mishaleach. And the nafkamina is where to put chatzer. The Reb Chaim understood that shlichus operates midin chalos. It's not an extension of the maisa of the mishaleach. And therefore he felt, Reb Chaim, that chatzer could not logically be derived from shlichus. If there is halacha in Reish Lakish that chatzer mishum shlichus is rabbi, it's got to be a ribui. It's got to be that the Torah in the parish of shlichus somehow extended the shlichus to include even a chatzer. And a chatzer is now an extended kind of a shliach as far as the laws are concerned. And now the Torah is being mechadish that the chatzer could be operating as what? As a chalos? I mean, that for Reb Chaim was impossible. But what we're going to say is that just like there are rules and regulations and limitations that that govern what? That govern shlichus, we're going to superimpose those on chatzer, because chatzer is derived from the parish of shlichus. If you ask me, says Reb Chaim, how does chatzer operate? The answer is mishum yad. Chatzer is an extension of yad. In other words, it's a din in the maisa that when he puts the get into our yad, he can equally put her get into her extended yad. What's her extended yad? Chatzer. The other way of learning it is name. That shlichus is also an extension of yad. For example, I forget if it's the Prima Gadim, I don't remember right now, it'll come to me later. Who owns the get? Does shliach own the get, or does the baal own the get? Right? There's halach in get that the baal has to pay to mei sofer. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. The reason why he has to pay the mei sofer is because he has to own the get. Now again, that's a very, very difficult assumption, because the Gemara says Kosval al Olashal Zayas Megureshes. Now an Olashal Zayas, in a case of Orla, is Isuri Ano, and you can't own Isuri Ano. Isuri Ano lav mamonhu. So how could he be Megarish the with an Olashal Zayas of Orla when Isuri Ano lav mamonhu, and you're assuming that the Baal has to own the get? So it could be that I don't need the Baal to own the get, but what I need is that the get be written lishma. What does that mean? That the sofer who's writing the get has to be commissioned by the Baal. The Baal has to own the get in order for the ksiva to be related to the Baal. But let's say you had a get, a klaf that wasn't owned by anyone. So if it's not owned by anyone, in other words, what I'm trying to say is, maybe I'm not explaining myself clearly. If this get could be owned by somebody else, and let's say the Baal would borrow the get from someone for the klaf, and he has to return that klaf, then the ksiva of the get is not considered related to the Baal, because the ksiva's osios is dio al gavi klaf that belongs to Yenam, that belongs to Shimon and not to Reuven the Megarish. So that's afkav lishma. But in the case of a get on Isuri Ano, where no one owns the get, there the ksiva automatically relates to the Baal as lishma, because he commissioned the writing of the get. But if the get would belong to someone else, then the fact that he commissioned the Baal anyway. So the question is, in the case of a shliach, who has to own the niara get? Can the shliach pay the dmei sofer and own the klaf of the get itself, or no? The get has to be owned by the Baal, and maybe, perhaps, again, this is just Berzon, maybe that depends upon these two definitions of shlichus. How do I view shlichus? If the shliach is batel u'mevutol, he's nothing, he's nobody, he's just an extension of the yad of the mishaleach, then the get has to be owned by the Baal. But if the shlichus means that I now appoint you as my shliach, and now you are omeid bimkom ha-baal, bimkom ha-mashaleach, just that the chalos relates back to the mishaleach, then let the shliach own the get. Who cares if the shliach owns the get? Now, if we're going to say that the Baal has to own the get, then what we're saying is that I can understand why chotze mishum shlichus is Rabbi the chitzori osir, the Tosfos chitzorius who says al pi svara I can derive chotze from shliach, because what is a shliach? A shliach is the extension of the yad of the baal, and a chotze could likewise be a shliach because a chotze is also an extension of the owner of the chotze. Okay, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. I know we didn't cover the whole sugya, but B'lin Edit tomorrow, we'll try to make some more progress in the sugya. I would like to now study with you a very